connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Christian Teaching and Talk. This is 91.7 FM, The Truth.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you join us as we face the issues. Lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, that telephone number, when we open our telephone lines, the telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We'd be delighted to have you join us today in the dialogue and discussion. Let me just suggest this also. Usually we have a pretty broad scope of what we'll talk about. Today we're talking about COVID-19, fact or fiction? What do we know about it? And because of the nature of broadcast today and the very special guest that we have, I'm going to ask you to limit your conversation, your questions, and dialogue about simply this one issue, COVID. What do we know? What is it we do not know? Have we been lied to? Are we in a position that we could be deceived once again as a result of what has taken place in the past? So let me remind you, if you would just limit your conversation, questions to our special guest that we'll introduce in just a moment. As we talk about COVID, fact or fiction. Ladies and gentlemen, let me remind you, as I do each and every day on this broadcast, as we face the issues, we do so looking through the prism of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. I call it the truth book. As we look at the Word of God, we can look at what's happening locally, nationally, internationally, and globally. But as we look at it through the prism of the Word of God, I believe it will cause a vast difference in what we think, say, or do in our nation today. And as we face the issues, we look at it from the truth book perspective. John 8:31-32, the Lord Jesus said, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free." Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, "I am truth." Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the Word of God. "Thy word is truth." Then in Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, "The truth of the Lord endures forever." So let me remind you, as we look for answers on events and things that are taking place, we need to search for truth. A good example of that is exactly what is taking place in D.C., where President Trump has brought in the troops, the National Guard, and federalized the city in order to bring crime down. Mayor Bowser says, you know, we don't have crime. Crime is reduced in D.C. Well, if you understand that two of the major leadership in the police department falsified the records, changed the documents, and made it look as though the crime is down, when that's a fallacy. Same also, ladies and gentlemen, when it comes to what we're talking about today with the fact or fiction about COVID-19, we need to recognize where we stand and what the truth is in this matter. Ladies and gentlemen, I believe that it is something that most Americans, even today, may I say this, most Americans, even today, are not aware of the truth, the facts in relationship to COVID. Have we been given the facts? No. Have we been given the truth? No. Are there still things that we need to know? Absolutely, unequivocally. This is the reason I'm delighted that HHS Secretary Robert Kennedy, he's uncovering, peeling the onion, and laying out facts. I'm fascinated and thrilled by the fact that all of those on the CDC board, if you please, they were relieved of their responsibilities, and he replaced them. I believe that it's time that takes place across the board in D.C. But ladies and gentlemen, I believe we had a plandemic, as some, I didn't coin the term, others have. You've heard me down through the years talk about this issue, and some of the things that we've brought to the forefront of our listening audience. But do we really know the origins of COVID-19? Some say yes and some say no. Have we been told the truth about the horrors of COVID CDC protocol that's responsible for the death of millions of people? Even today, the CDC and HHS secretaries taking steps to right some of the wrongs. I was thankful just recently when we see that the Robert Kennedy, with the leadership of President Trump, canceled the contracts for $600 million worth of investigation and vaccination material. They canceled everything, all the contracts with Moderna. They're reviewing the facts with J&J, Johnson & Johnson. I believe they need to do the same thing with Pfizer. I believe we need to recognize that we've been lied to, we've been deceived into somehow, some way believing that we really had a COVID pandemic and that it was something that we need to be forced to take the jab, forced to close churches, forced to close businesses, and multitudes that's listening to me today, perhaps you were forced into taking the jab. Perhaps you were forced into wearing a mask. Perhaps you were told that you need to be 6 foot separation from others so that you wouldn't spread it. Perhaps you were told that the kids in your family were the carriers, the ones that would cause grandma and grandpa to die with COVID if you let your grandkids come to go to their houses. Those are some of the things that we were told about and lied to about down through the COVID experience. Ladies and gentlemen, we have many, many, many questions about COVID that may never be fully answered. But today we're delighted to have a very special guest that will delve into the history of COVID-19, the so-called vaccination requirement, and uncover some of the lies that we've been told about COVID. Ladies and gentlemen, it's with a delighted heart and a thankfulness that we have today with us the author, the professor, the researcher, medical doctor, Dr. Reed Sheftall, as our very special guest. Doctor, if you'd take a moment to just briefly introduce yourself, give a thumbnail bio of who you are and what your background is, and something very briefly, a thumbnail sketch of your latest book called Sanctioned.
Thank you, Dr. Youngblood. Before I start, I want to thank one of your members, Jim Crunden, who was instrumental in putting us together, and I'm really looking forward to answering your questions and your listeners' questions today.
Hey, man, Jim's a good guy. I'm thankful for him. Go ahead.
Yeah, Jim and his wife, Lori, are members, like I said, and I just wanted to thank Jim publicly for putting us together.
Amen.
My name is Reed Sheftall. I received my undergraduate degree from MIT in physics. I got a medical degree. I went to surgery residency for general surgery and then plastic surgery, and finally about 10 years ago for pediatric cardiac surgery, because I was running a charity in Cambodia and we didn't have anyone to do the surgery on the children, so I went back and got trained and did that also.
Amen.
The book is called Sanctioned, the COVID Murders. And it's a 2,000-page book, which I'm not expecting everyone to read over the weekend. But the first volume is available on Amazon.com right now. And I hope everyone will get a copy and read it after we have our discussion today, because it spells out with pictures and words what we're going to be talking about today, which will be difficult to understand in some places, but we'll try to keep it as simple as possible.
Amen.
And you can always call in and ask questions if you don't understand what I'm talking about. And Dr. Youngblood here is, of course, is an expert in communication, so he's going to help me if I get a little bit esoteric.
We can do it.
And I'm looking forward to it very much, so please do call in if you have a question or a comment.
Very good. Well, Dr. Sheftall, we're delighted that you're here, and I'm delighted that we had the privilege of having this conversation. Would you, in your book, Sanctioned, is it considered, should it be considered, I know this is a hypothetical question, but should it be considered fact or fiction? The reason I say that, there's many things been written on the subject. It is a whole smattering across the board of fact and fiction. And many things that I've read on the subject of COVID is oftentimes what you'd have to put in the category of fiction. So if yours is fact or fiction, explain why you would consider it fact.
Mine is 100% nonfiction. It's total fact. When I speculate, I tell the readers that I'm speculating. But it's very rare when I need to speculate. My point is to let people know the truth about what happened and to prove my claims. That's very important. You can't just state something when you deal with as important a subject as this. You need to prove these very, very controversial claims that I'm going to make today. And I have the proof ready for anyone who wants to hear it. The book, like I said, is 2,000 pages long, and it's all been written. I just have to polish each volume as they come out, and the first volume is already out. So I think that you will enjoy reading a nonfiction book about COVID. There have been a lot of fictional accounts written, which are not very accurate as to what actually happened. And we really need to know what happened, because this was a major crime, and the perpetrators need to be punished for it.
Absolutely. That touches on a very serious subject or thought that you just promulgated in my thoughts and my mind. Somehow, some way, we have those in their research and writing. They're simply researching and writing what Dr. Fauci said. And as you know, Dr. Fauci said, if you disbelieve me, you're disbelieving science. How should we take that statement?
Well, that was a silly statement. you know, there have been so many odd statements made by the so-called leaders of this thing. I'm talking about on the perpetrator side. Mm-hmm. Like science is not to be questioned and science is from consensus and all these silly comments that would make Isaac Newton flip over in his grave, I think, if he heard those.
I believe some of your reviewers, as I did the research a little bit of your background and your book prior to our interview today, some of your reviewers say that the book is, and I'm quoting, the definitive history of COVID. Why is that so? Give us a thumbnail sketch of that.
Well, the book starts with my interest in this subject. I was in Cambodia at the time, and I got involved because I noticed that many things the organizers claimed were impossible from a scientific perspective. And once you start to hear things like that, you wonder if anything they're saying is true.
Correct.
So the more and more I looked into it, the more and more I found out that, without jumping the gun too much, They did a lot of things that made absolutely no sense, like locking down healthy people, for example. Mm-hmm. Wearing masks made no sense at all.
If you don't mind me jumping in at this point, talk about that for a moment.
Okay.
Why is it that lockdowns was not scientific and masks were not scientific, and why is it that they did not work?
Okay. Well, let me address masks first, because
okay.
That's very simple. Mm-hmm. Have you seen any of the experiments on the internet where people will take a puff of a cigarette and then put a mask on and start talking or exhaling, and you see that the smoke comes right through the front of the mask?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, you're able to see those particulates of smoke. That's how you can see the smoke. The virus, and I will explain later that the actual virus does not exist, but given that it exists, it is 100 nanometers in diameter, a number you may have heard before. Well, 100 nanometers is outside of the visible spectrum. The visible spectrum on the electromagnetic spectrum goes from 400 nanometers, which is the color violet, to 700 nanometers, which is the color red. And the virus, being only 100 nanometers, puts it out of the visible spectrum. That means that you cannot see it, no matter how much you turn up the magnification with a light microscope. You can only see it with an electron microscope. And without getting too detailed, okay, the electron has a de Broglie wavelength of 1 nanometer. So you are able to see something that's 100 nanometers. You can even see the so-called spikes that are only 10 nanometers long.
Right.
Okay. If you can see the particulates of smoke coming through the front of the mask, imagine how easy it is for something that's so small it's invisible to come through the front of the mask.
Dr. Schiff,
therefore, masks don't help.
Yes, Dr. Sheftal, you're exactly right. In fact, as I have explained it with limited scientific knowledge on that subject. It's like putting a chain link fence over your face to keep the gnats out.
It's something like that. I don't know exactly what the ratio is of a gnat to a hole in a chain link fence, but the holes are very big compared to the size of the virus.
Yes.
And let alone the 2-inch gaps on the side of a surgical mask.
Yes.
I'm a surgeon, so I wear these things every day. But even if it was tightly sealed, and sometimes we do tape all around the mask because the water vapor fogs our glasses if
yes.
we wear glasses. Mm-hmm. But still, it comes right through the front of the mask. Mm-hmm. And when it does that, the masks aren't helpful. Now, I explained this to everybody in March of 2020, but even today, people still think you should wear masks.
I've seen people driving down the highway with a mask on.
Right.
With the windows.
Or even swimming in the ocean with a mask.
Yes.
I see that because
yes.
I live in Ponte Vedra.
Absolutely. Doctor, hold your thought for just a moment. I believe I have a caller on the line.
Okay.
Kenneth, go with your question or comment, please.
Yes, Dr. Gumbler. I hope the hell we're going in and out, but gentlemen, good morning.
Good morning.
And I have seen also people by themselves in their cars, by themselves with a mask on, with the windows roll up and everything. I'd be laughing at it sometimes.
But, yeah, well, Kenneth, you're exactly right, because even if the masks work, it wouldn't make sense to wear one in a car.
No.
But they don't even work.
Well, Kenneth, one of the things, and the doctor, I'm sure, is familiar with this, and I have a limited knowledge of it, but over the past years, there's been 141 studies on masks. Not one showed any efficacy whatsoever in preventing the transmission of a virus by wearing a mask. A total fallacy.
That is correct, with one minor exception. There was a study, we call it the Bangladesh study, where... This is very interesting now. This says a lot about how science is conducted. In Bangladesh, a study was done with masks, and there was a significant advantage, scientifically, statistically significant, for wearing masks in one of the groups that wore masks. You know, they compare people that wear masks
right.
and don't wear masks and look at their symptoms and so forth. And me and probably some other people, because it was fairly obvious, pointed out that there was also another significant finding, statistically significant finding in that study, that showed that one of the colors of the masks worked better than the other colors. And when you have something like that happen, that's statistically significant, you have to throw out the study, because that means that people joined that study for reasons other than wanting to find out if masks worked or not.
Mm-hmm.
They just wanted a beautiful pink mask or whatever the mask was that beat the other colors.
Yeah.
In other words, they weren't as likely to go down and report their symptoms to the scientists that were running the study as people that had other color masks on, because the people with the pink mask that were supposedly statistically superior were only in the study to get the pink mask. You understand?
I understand.
So it's a skewed population that is in the study, and so you have to throw the whole thing out.
Absolutely.
And we discovered that. Of course, I discussed with Dr. Bhattacharya. We did 24 hours, and he's now the NIH director.
Yeah, he was former head of the medical for the state of Florida before he was appointed for the national level by the president. I don't know if you're aware of that.
Well, he's a Stanford professor
yes.
out in California. But he did come to advise the governor on a few things along the way. But I think Joe Latipo is the head of the medical council in Florida.
For now,
Dr.
yes.
Dr. Latipo,
absolutely.
Yeah. But anyway, once I pointed that out to Dr. Bhattacharya, because he was kind of thinking that masks were advantageous. And when I pointed that out to him, he had to admit that that study was no good.
Absolutely.
So there has not been a study that has demonstrated any efficacy in masks.
None whatsoever. Kenneth, thank you so much for your call, and God bless you today. Go ahead.
Now, I could continue on with the lockdowns and explain why they are no good also, if you're interested.
All right, let's do that. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. We're talking with Dr. Reed Sheftall today. He is the author of a new book that I believe is fascinating, interesting, and very detailed. It's called Sanctioned, It is discussing in full detail, scientifically and medically speaking, the pros and cons of the, in fact, the subtitle that is sanctioned, the COVID murders. And I believe that it's something that would be vital for any reader that's interested in knowing the details of what we have passed through with the COVID plandemic, as multitudes have started calling it. 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I believe we have James on the line. James, go with the question or comment, please.
Dr. Youngblood, can you hear me?
I can.
Can you hear me?
Yes, go ahead.
Okay, terrific. Great show, of course. And this is James of the James and Lori Fan Club show for Dr. Youngblood and your wonderful guest, Dr. Sheffield. Hey, quick little observation. We just got your book, Dr. Sheffield. It's fascinating. For the listening audience that's kind of hung up on numbers, if it will, or prove this to me, I'm looking at page 130, and you have a little statement there that says, according to the WHO, influenza cases dropped during the years 2019 to 2020 from 38 million to 1,500 in 2020 to 2021. Which, again, if you're an actuarial or a numbers person, that would kind of stick out. And the people that are looking at insurance companies now and looking at the death rates and the mortality or whatever, and the payouts and sickness and people that are laid up because of this, the whole thing is horrific. So that my statement is that, and also to applaud the bravery of a physician that stood up to the machine and was brave enough to say that. And at the beginning of Dr. Sheffield's book is a wonderful little statement that I had never heard before from Albert Einstein, where he makes the statement that those who have the privilege to know have the duty to act, which is kind of like our Pastor Bonhoeffer back in Germany, who said violence or evil in the face of evil is itself evil if no one speaks up and stands up and says something. So here's my question after making those statements, and I'm so excited you're on the air, and we can't get enough of it because you've got information to impart, so I want to shut up. But my question is this. I have dear friends that have taken the vaccine, some the mRNA and some the regular, or I don't know if you could say regular, but the Johnson & Johnson, or I guess the one that don't have the mRNA stuff in it. And they've said, well, Jimmy, I'm sorry that I took this vaccine. What can I do? And I'll get off the line and continue to listen to this wonderful show.
Jim, that's a good question. If the questions had lined up for Dr. Sheffield today, and I would ask him to go ahead and respond to that. Is there a protocol that can help allay the difficulties and the dangers, medically speaking, if a person has already taken the vaccine?
Well, that's a very difficult question because it's very technical, and there have been some things that have been proposed to benefit patients who took the vaccine.
I believe Dr. Malone had come up with a protocol for that also.
Quite possibly he has. The first thing people should do, because the stress of thinking that you took a vaccine that could kill you or give you a horrible disease, which we'll talk about later, a list of diseases that we've seen happen because of the vaccine, is probably almost worse than, it's not worse than getting the, one of those diseases or dying, but it's a tremendous amount of stress on a person to worry about it. And so the first thing they should do is look up a website called How Bad Is My Batch? And they should go back to the person that gave them the injection
and
find out what
batch
number they got. And then look it up on howbadismybatch.com to determine if they got an inert batch. You know, when they do large-scale treatment like this, they will have different formulations in some of the batches to learn by it. You know, there'll be some that don't have anything active in it. Mm-hmm. It's be like getting a saline injection. And they'll have some that have the full complement of messenger RNA in there. So some of the batches, no one at all died from. And some of the batches had half the people that got them died. Mm-hmm. Okay, if you look on those on that website. So the first thing I would do is find out what batch number you got, and then look on that to find out if you were lucky and got one of the batches where no one had any problems from it. It was probably an inert injection. As far as researching things that you can take now, there have been a lot of proposals by various people. I know Dr. McCullough was talking about doing something, and some other people. And I don't want to misquote anybody, so I'd rather not comment on anything specific because nothing's been proven that I know
Correct.
Of. And I'm the type of person who needs proof of something before I unleash the information to the public, because I don't want to hurt anyone, and I don't want to be wrong. That's right. Why you'll find that when you ask me questions today, I'm going to prove everything I say.
That's
because
good.
Because I have my professional reputation as a surgeon on the line, and also my personal reputation.
That's good.
I don't want to say anything that I can't prove.
Absolutely. Ladies and gentlemen, that telephone number is 904-831-0917. Jim, thank you so much for your call and for your question.
Excuse me, I didn't mean to interrupt.
That's right, go ahead.
I remembered that Jim's first point was about the reduction in the influenza cases from 2019 to 2020, and that is a very, very important observation he made there. The ratio of 38 million to 1,500 is 25,333. That is the rate that the influenza cases dropped. So it's clear that I'm going to be talking about COVID-19 in a minute, about whether it even existed or not. But it was clearly a rebranding of the flu, what we call the flu, and other diseases. I don't want to bury the lead, but we'll talk about whether COVID-19 even existed later in our talk, I hope.
Absolutely. In fact, that's a good juncture and a transition at this point. Let's talk about that, and we can do, we'll then have a few minutes, we'll have our news break. After the news break, we'll come back and continue the thoughts. But I noticed in your research, you said that COVID-19 did not exist.
Correct.
And now, if I could set the stage for my question, if you got COVID-19, you had to have 18, 17, 16, 15, et cetera, COVID-1 to have COVID-19. So explain to our listeners why you're saying COVID-19 or COVID did not exist. What is the nexus between the COVID virus and the flu virus and or what we call the common cold virus? Explain that to our listeners.
Okay, first let me tell you where the phrase COVID-19 came from. It's a it represents coronavirus disease from 2019. That's where COVID-19 came from. Now, I'm going to sort of jump to the chase here and tell you that the SARS-2 virus does not exist, believe it or not. I can prove it very easily. And therefore, COVID-19 does not exist. It's hard to believe to hear someone say something like that after everything we went through for 5 years. But there was no SARS-2 virus. The entire thing was made up. COVID-19 is a rebranding of other diseases.
Explain that in a language term that our listeners can understand.
Principally the flu. That's where most of the COVID-19 cases originated. It was just the flu, and they called it COVID-19. Now, you might say, well, how do you rebrand something? What are you talking about? Well, when someone comes into the hospital with respiratory symptoms, tests are done. And as you know, hospitals were rewarded for performing tests for COVID-19, for making a COVID-19 diagnosis.
Correct.
For putting people in the ICU.
Yes.
For putting people on ventilators when it was not indicated. And many other things. For putting it on the death certificate. Okay. The way to rebrand a disease is you don't test for the one that you don't want it to be, and you test for the one that you want it to be with a fraudulent test such as the PCR test, which I'll get into later if our listeners are interested in learning why. And you find out that you can make that test positive if you want to.
Absolutely.
By the number of cycles that you run it through and some other reasons.
Once it goes more than, as I understand it, correct me if I'm wrong, once the spinner, as I call it, is more than 40 cycles, you've got a positive result.
Yes, but it's even less than 40 in some cases.
Is it okay?
I'll explain all that if you're interested.
Wonderful. Ladies and gentlemen, we're going to take the top of the hour news break. Right after the break, we'll come right back. Don't turn your dials as we continue to face the issues.
This is Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Gene A. Youngblood. from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.
WTRJ, Orange